Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Adam in Portland saying Cheese Whiz, by far the best name.
I don't know. I'm kind of partial to Kind Whiz and Hunt now.
Kind Whiz and Hunt is good. Drew says Brian Callicand.
Okay.
That could apply shortly.
That could.
For him.
That could.
What happens on that front? Andy Ben is
mad.
He doesn't care about the opinion of Titans fans. He says, I couldn't care less what Titans fans attacking me think. I love how a certain group of Titans fans and media still try to attack the Colts when their own team is a crap show. You all have no credibility when you do that. This is from Andy Ben.
So that's all fine when it comes to the comparing the teams. But I think you could care less because you are often listening to a show that's revolving around a Nashville sports team. I'm not saying I want you to leave. Stay.
Oh, we love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like you have to admit, like you kind of are asking for it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So that's fine. As long as you're Indy Ben.
I hope Indy Ben takes some solace in the fact that he is a, I don't know if beloved figure, but is an important member of the Robbie and Rex Road program. Because yeah. Every time he says something, he gets Titans fans riled up.
And we've, you know, Todd from Jacksonville is,
yeah.
He hasn't talked to us in a while. So we're, you know, your only hope, Indy Ben.
Yeah. We got a lot of Colts fans that.
Colts fans are all over this show.
A lot of Colts fans around here. A lot of Colts fans. Taking your thoughts.
Fun fall so far.
615-737-1025. Thanks, Bev. So I've really enjoyed Blake Bedingfield and his weekly columns that he contributes to PaulKuharski.com. We talked last week about some things that stood out to him, including Femi Oladejo basically being a no-show out there. And Bedingfield gives, you know, the best things he saw from the Titans each week, which feels like it may be a progressively shorter and shorter list as the season goes on. The worst things that he saw from the Titans each week, which continues to grow on a weekly basis, according to the length of this article here. But Bedingfield said something interesting at his latest piece at PaulKuharski.com about ownership. And I just want to read a couple of graphs for you, Joe. It says, the issue starts at the top with ownership. I've said for years that a general manager and a head coach should love working for Amy Adams Strunk and have great success if the right people are hired because she's an absentee owner that lives predominantly in Texas and lets them do their job. But in my opinion, my opinion has changed over the past few years with all the coaching and front office changes since she took over the franchise. It is not a winnable situation anymore. Team owners need to have people in the building that they trust and can rely on who will give an honest opinion on how to fix a losing situations, and those confidants must not have self-protecting interests. That's why it's equally important for them to have someone outside the building that they can lean on who doesn't have an agenda or ties to the team. My advice for Strunk is to create an environment of accountability. When losses mount and players are not performing, there must be accountability as to whether someone is drafting players who aren't performing or if someone is failing to coach them and get their strengths to flourish. It starts now. It can't wait until another coach or GM is fired. It must start Monday morning. That's what Blake Bedingfield had to say on the ownership part of this as it relates to Amy Adams Strunk. So, Joe, when you read that, when you hear that, what do you make of that? What stands out to you about that?
Well, first of all, you're welcome, Paul Garcia, for us putting all of your premium content on the air.
Yes, you're
thank
welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Check it out at paulkarski.com.
That's right. Yeah, I thought the interesting thing there that really stood out to me was team owners need to have people in the building they can trust and rely on who will give an honest opinion how to fix a losing situation, and those confidants must not have self-protecting interests. So I that's very interesting. I mean, I agree with it, but also it's like this is the situation she's created, right? I mean, it just feels like it's just this constant churn of, oh, now you're in favor, now you're out of favor, you're out. Okay, now this person joins this person. Let's see if we can put them together. Let's see if they can work. Oh, nope. So now this person's out. And I think when you have that when you go down that road, I think it's hard, given human nature, for people not to have self-protecting interests. Yep. Because, like, so it's like, so it's an interesting point that he makes, because he's like talking about environment of accountability. And I agree with that too, but what is accountability? Because right with the Titans, what it has been is like, it doesn't necessarily take much and she's going to fire you. So then doesn't that create self-protecting interests?
You know? It's a tough balance. I'm guilty of this too, because I have been critical of Amy Adams Strunk and the way that she has handled things with some of her decisions over the past few years, right? Like, we've talked about it with J-Rob and with Vrabel, and you fire Ran after 2 years. Like, it's been a revolving door around there. And yet, I look at it now, we talked about it last week, you can swing too far the other way too, right? Like, you can swing too far the other way where you're scared to death to fire somebody because of how you think it's going to be perceived, that you allow something harmful to happen, right? Like, you allow, like, if Brian Callahan's a bad coach, the last thing they need as an organization is for him to be around Cam Ward for an extended period of time. I'm sorry. Like, if he's just not a good coach and he's not the guy that's going to bring out the best in Cam Ward, they don't need him to be around Cam Ward very long. So, like, you can swing too far the other way of, you know, having the, I don't know, the quick trigger. And you can swing so far the other way that you don't have a quick trigger enough when it comes to it. It's a really difficult balance, I think, to strike, especially when you've been criticized the way that she has over the last few years.
Yeah. I mean, look, again, she was out there, didn't say anything, but it's supposed to be this great celebration of Mike Keith. And again, it is. He goes in the Ring of Honor. It's a great thing for him. But boos are overpowering. She decides that Burke Nihil, speak instead of her. Obviously, the boos are like, yeah, I was thinking about that situation. It's like, so think about the logistics of that. So they're like in the tunnel ready for this, right? They're sitting there talking, whatever. Maybe I'll be catching up. Or like, do they even know what's going on in the game? You know what I mean? Like how closely are you paying it? So in other words, like, all the stuff that happened at the end, they're in there getting ready for the ceremony and they're about to come out in the field and everything. And it's like, okay, this will be great. And then it's like, wait, why are the boot, like, is it really this bad? Like, did you know in the moment that it was because of specific coaching blunders that you just totally intensified the angst in the stadium? Or is it had to be like later, you're like, so why were they, oh, he did what? You know, I don't know.
Listen to the crowd. Michael Ruse is back out there. Listen to the crowd.
I mean, it's, but so there's a total, like, in-your-face moment for the owner of how bad things are.
Yeah.
Not that she didn't know before, but, like, if you, in case you were wondering what the fan base thinks, and because some people want to say, well, you know, talk radio this, or someone writes a column, or social media, that's the loud minority of people, right?
Right.
Sunday is very clear. Like, the entire fan, sometimes it's like, no, what people are saying on social media and talk radio and things like that is actually what everybody's saying.
Well, and
that's where you are right now.
Even, you know, I'm not saying that our show is the be all end all in terms of, like, the generating.
No, say it, Jared.
Maybe I should. Our show is the be all end all in terms of, like, gauging a fan base and what the response is. But generally speaking, Joe, on, like, most things we discuss with the Titans, there is some level of divide, right? Like, there's some level of opinion on both sides of whatever argument we're talking about, whether it's the coach or the general manager or even the owner. Like, we've had some discussions about Amy Adams Strunk, and we've heard from Titans fans that don't think we're being hard enough on the owner, and some Titans fans think we're being way too hard on Amy Adams Strunk. So that's generally speaking what the reaction looks like when it comes to a fan base. I think maybe the thing that stood out the most to me over the last couple of weeks on the Callahan front, I've heard very few defenders of Callahan to this point. Like, it's almost non-existent this week when it comes to the defenders of Brian Callahan. And it's different because, you know, certainly at the end of the Vrabel tenure, people on both sides of the argument. At the end of Ran last year, people on both sides of the argument. I've not seen it like this, just based on our reaction, where it's like pretty much universally, like they're like, this guy sucks. We got to get him out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not, maybe not everyone like he must go right now, but definitely. And there are people who are very patient, level headed, et cetera, who are like, this is unbelievable. Because it is. Again, it's just like three games, and in two of them, you've been a league wide story for coaching blunders.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not normal. So anyway, that intensifies the whole situation. But I just find it really interesting. And again, I mean, I get it. Like Blake worked for the Titans for a long time.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, Blake Bedingfield is why Derrick Henry was here. I mean, really, I understand John Robinson and Mike Mularkey made the decision, but he's the one who pushed hard on draft day and they were not going to do it. But it's just interesting to read sort of like his changing perception of working for her. The absentee owner thing, I can see how like that could be good in some way, right? Like, let us do our job. We're good at our job. Let's go.
Right.
But then when you start having these problems, then that makes it a worse working situation.
From a player perspective, do you think they'd enjoy more the absentee owner or someone who's in the building all the time, like a Haslam? As a player, what do you think?
I don't think most players want to see the owner that much, right?
Yeah. I would agree with that. I think there's probably
an in between there.
An in between, like
those are the extremes.
You know, knowing that they're around and that they've got a grasp of what's going on, I think can be beneficial. But yeah, I'm with you, Joe. I don't think the players want to be walking around the facility and like, oh, there's the owner again. I've seen the owner eight times today.
Yeah. Like, hi, Jerry.
Hi.
Yeah, I do wonder what the balance is there about showing you care,
right,
versus like all up in everybody's business.
Right. Well, because the criticism goes the other way too. When you are an absentee owner and you're not around all that much, well, then the fan base is like, well, how could she possibly have any clue what's going on? She's never here. Yeah. And we heard that.
Oh, yeah.
Before she took over as controlling owner, that was a big thing around here of,
yes,
these people aren't here. They're in Houston. They don't care. Why should we care?
Yep. And then she did a lot to repair that. But again, what really repairs it? She did a good job, for sure. And she was visible. Yep. And things were going well. But what really repaired it was that they had some good football teams.
Correct.
And they started firing good people, starting with Mike Mularkey.
615-737-1025. Is our phone number. Continuing this conversation on the Titans coming up next. Interesting comments from Blake Bedingfield. We'll continue the discussion on Amy Adams-Strunk. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game.
You're talking to Amy weekly, and what have those conversations been like to this point? Have you talked to her yet this week?
Yeah, we talk weekly. I'll keep all those conversations private, as I always do. But yeah, I'm in communication with her all the time.
You heard yet this week?
Again, I'll keep all those conversations private.
That's Brian Callahan yesterday. He is not revealing whether or not he's spoken with Amy Adams-Strunk so far this week.
Why the fart were they booing me?
Brian, how many timeouts were called before you guys couldn't decide whether or not to kick a field goal out there? Delay a game. My goodness.
Is it possible?
Did you try to kick an 85-yard field goal with Joey Sly out there? I know he's got a strong leg, Brian, but come on.
Like, is it possible that there's like some sort of they're not doing like an in-season Titans thing, are they? Like every team does like the in-house.
Oh God, I hope so.
If they were, you would think like the Mike Keith things, a little footage of him and
where's the Cam Ward? Where's the Cam Ward Tubi stuff?
Yeah, I've heard about it.
That's a good question too.
Maybe there's some behind the scenes. something in there. I don't know.
But yeah, that would be great, you know? Just sort of everybody just having a good time right before half. Everything's fine. Okay, here we go. Let's go out. Woo! I mean, with Mike Keith, no one's going to get booed. We bring Mike Keith out, right? Everybody loves Mike Keith.
Just disaster.
Good times.
Just a total disaster. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Wes and Hermitage to the program. Wes, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. I got to tell you, I was on hold. Joe, I heard the gout commercial come on. It about took me out. I thought somebody was playing with me. That was the first time I've heard that commercial.
It's beautiful.
Oh, it was great.
Thank you.
man, I got
to. I'm a pitch man, and I'm not afraid to talk about my gout. All right, so good.
And
go
you
ahead.
Know what? You shouldn't be. Stand on that, Joe.
Thank
I hear you.
Thank you.
Amen.
My question is not should we fire Brian Callahan, but it's more so when is the best time to do it? Because I hear both, like fire him now, fire him at the end of the season. I don't know what's true, what's the best case scenario, but I'll tell y'all this. If that man is coaching this team when Vrabel comes to town, just I don't even know what to expect. But Vrabel will embarrass us in Nashville if that man is still coaching. So what do you do here?
Thank you, Wes. I appreciate the call. I think that's a big question because I don't know the answer. You know, I said yesterday I'm done. Like I'm ready. If they had announced yesterday that they fired Brian Callahan, I would have said, cool, yeah, that's fine. Like I have no problem with it. If they lose to Houston on Sunday, particularly if it's ugly, is that going to be enough to pull the trigger? Should it be enough to pull the trigger? I mean, I think it comes down to the question that I asked yesterday, Joe. You know, we talked heading into the season. I think we all know the score and what this season is really about. It's about Cam Ward. So do you feel like he is an asset to Cam Ward, or do you feel like he's a detriment to Cam Ward? That would be the question that I'd be asking. If I'm Borgonzi, if I'm Brinker, if I'm Amy Adams Strunk, that's the question I want to know right now. Yeah, it's been pretty bad. The record's bad. The in-game decision stuff has been pretty awful. So what do we feel like this means for his relationship with Ward? Is he bringing Ward along at the pace that we expected? Do we feel like if he's the head coach in 8 weeks from now, is that going to hinder Cam Ward's growth? I mean, those are the questions I'd be asking if I'm the Titans. And I think that the answer to those questions, whatever your answer is, determines the timeline here.
Yeah, no, I agree. And look, this is where we talked last week about Cam Ward's endorsements of Brian Callahan, some of them unprompted, just wanting everybody to know he likes Brian Callahan and he would like some grass to play on. Okay? Two things that, and I imagine he'll be outspoken about other things too, which is great. So, I don't think it's like, you know, hey, Cam, come on in here, man. So, really? Do you really like Brian? You know, I don't know that it gets to that. But, yeah, I think you're exactly right. It's all about that. Is Cam Ward progressing under Brian Callahan? Is he learning from Brian Callahan? Does he like him? Do they have a good relationship? Are we seeing progress behind the scenes, digging deep, you know, day to day? Is it a partnership that's helping him become a better NFL quarterback? And if it is, then I think that the other stuff, we wait to the end of the year. I mean, in my opinion. If you have any questions about it, like if you said, if you actually think he's a detriment, well, then go ahead and fire him then. I mean, if you actually think he's a detriment to Cam Ward, which frankly, I think that sounds a little bit far-fetched, but I don't know. I mean, obviously the operational stuff has been a disaster.
I mean, I don't think it's that far-fetched. I mean, everything about him is a detriment to this point.
Yeah. I mean, but you still do have to separate the things, right? I mean, like Brian Callahan, just like any of these coaches, knows football up and down, play calling, play design, staying up on stuff. It's his life, okay? So, like, that can still be true, and he can still completely botch things on a Sunday. He can completely botch things on a Sunday and during the week still be doing things to help Cam Ward get better. That it's not some crazy idea that both of those things could be true.
Sure, but it's also not crazy that the guy who can't figure out when to send a field goal unit on the field may not be the guy you want in charge of developing your quarterback. Like,
it's possible.
The guy who you hired to be a play caller who is shown to be not a very good play caller may not be the right guy to lead your quarterback. Like, I don't think it's crazy to have that's exactly the question I would be asking right now. Like, are we sure that we want Brian Callahan leading our quarterback the next few weeks?
That's the one thing that's been kind of discouraging for me. No matter who's been at quarterback the last two seasons, the offense pretty much looks the same. Even with Rudolph in there, there was a lot of people, just switch Levis for Rudolph, it'll get better. That did not happen. It looked exactly the same. And this year doesn't look much different either.
And it's not just the offensive line.
So I don't know.
No,
if it's,
but I start there, though.
You
right?
can start there, but it's not just the offensive
There's some
line.
Disconnect about him and the scheme.
It's
and
him.
Getting
like,
him.
It's time to call it what it is.
Get the
it's
players
him.
To – they're not on the same page.
Yeah, it's him. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, I think you have to ask the question of, is he a detriment to the development of your quarterback? And I'm leaning yes.
It's a fair question, but I still say that these two things can be can absolutely be separate. They can.
They
be.
Can be, for sure. I don't disagree with you there. The evidence tells me that they're not in this instance. Just, you know, 30,000 feet out, I'm not in the building every day. So again, they should know better than me. Like the people asking this question,
yeah,
should know the answer to that question.
Yeah, and you know, another thing Wes brought up there, I will say, you know, everybody's talking about like Vrabel doesn't have a very good team.
Right? That's
like,
the thing.
People like, should keep that in mind. Like yeah. I mean, who knows like what the Titans will look like then?
Yeah.
Or whatever. But like Vrabel doesn't have a team that's come into any NFL season. Yeah, he's just gonna crush you. And maybe he will.
The Titans, I would like to remind you, they beat that team last year.
That's right. That's right. They did. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think you're right. As far as the overall question of when is the right time, yeah, look, if it's actually like there's actually questions of the building and like Cam and like what he's saying publicly and maybe privately are different. And they're, you know, and again, to me, it's like also, okay, if you fire him, you need this time the rest of the year to like develop, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, okay, so like, do you trust Bo Hardigree? Like, is he good? And it's like he can deal with them and work on stuff and be fine, or Holtz or whatever. Like, I think that's all part of it too. Is like, okay, in the aftermath of firing Callahan, right, what does it look like for Cam? And is it beneficial, or is it just a totally thrown away year if you do that?
It's not beneficial. Like, let me make that clear. Like, you can think
well,
Brian
beneficial
Callahan,
enough. You know,
yeah. Like, yeah, you can think Brian Callahan is bad, which I do, and you can think that the Titans need to move on from him sooner rather than later, which I do, while also recognizing that, I mean, not much is going to change in the meantime, right? Like you're still going to have Brian Callahan's staff. It's not like they're changing up the playbook or anything. Like it's going to be Brian Callahan's staff, and it's going to be, you know, Bo Hardigree or Nick Holtz or whoever it is that's leading the offense after that. Like it's Mike McCoy. Your ultimate answer to who you hope develops Cam Ward won't be here for a few months. Like they're going to have to go hire a head coach at some point.
Will Bill Callahan walk out the door same day?
Oh, yeah.
I would think so.
Why would he? I'll stay around.
Yeah, I guess I don't know how that works.
He'll be out.
Contracts and I guess he's just gone, huh?
Yeah. They fire his son.
He's gone.
He'll be gone.
So now you don't have
Brian
an O-line coach, right, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so everything.
So again, like, hey, look, if it keeps up like this, then at some point you just have to do it. But I'm still open to the idea that he gets the year. I'm still open to it. Call me crazy.
Could be a long year. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We will get to your thoughts on this coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. We are taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's head to our phone line. Welcome in Trey to the program. Trey, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing good, Trey. Good.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I had a friend of mine, man, that played for Pittsburgh Pirates. He backed up Barry Bonds, and then he got the job. He played down there for 6 years, Adrian Brown. And then he had an opportunity. He played for Boston Red Sox when Boston was playing against Oakland, and he was pinch hitting. Boston could have went to the World Series during that drought. And I just want to say, people don't understand that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You have to do the best you can in that moment. You know, and I think Cam Ward, you know, don't have really the fundamentals to do the job. I think the game is too fast for him, and I think Brian Callahan is in the same position. When you're in this type of position, you got to perform to the best of your ability and do the best of your ability, and I don't think that they're doing that. And I think that most of it is Cam Ward's fault because he fundamental foundation to do the job, and I also think it's Brian Callahan's fault to an extent. You know, he can only put the plays out there for the young man. And if he can't perform them, that's on Cam Ward, you know? So y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Trey. I will say that's the first thing we've heard all week where the blame is on Cam Ward, not the coach.
Yeah. That was interesting.
That's the first time we've heard that. I will, as I mentioned yesterday, or maybe Monday. Yesterday was Monday. The footwork from Cam Ward, I didn't think it was very good in this game. Like, you could see it in live time. Like, he was kind of all over the place. I remember one, he threw one to the left sideline, and his feet were still facing, like, the right sideline. Like, I was like, how did he even make that throw? He didn't even turn. Yeah. How did he make that throw? So there's still definitely some work that Ward's got to improve and clean up as the year goes on here.
Yeah, in fact, that
I would not put him at the top of the list of the problems, though, right now.
No, but I mean, I think that goes to the question of Callahan, too. It's like, okay, are the fundamentals improving? Like,
right.
This Bedingfield piece we cited, he writes a lot about his mechanics and some of the things that need to be cleaned up. So I won't read all that, Paul. So we'll go to Paul Garcia.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long story. There's a lot I didn't read in there.
Good.
It's very good.
When I go to paulgarcia.com, I like to read Blake Bedingfield stories personally. But no, there's a lot. I mean, that's a big thing is the mechanics, and that's something like you talk about. Is Brian Callahan good for Cam Ward? I mean, those are the things that you want to see get better. By the way, on my personal text line, someone going back to the Amy discussion said I was a 26-year season ticket founder. Amy is largely the reason I didn't re-up this year.
Ooh,
so
okay,
but look, it's a very. And I've been there, and most sports fans, especially if you're my age, probably have been there at one point or another where, like, when ownership appears to be what's really the issue and limiting, that's just terrible as a, yep. as a sports fan because you know you can't do anything about it other than boo.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in T-Mac in the borough. T-Mac, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. Good morning. First of all, to that last caller, I mean, he obviously doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't watch football, and you can tell. So I don't think it's on Cam Ward. But I will say this: what week do they play the Patriots?
That's seven.
It's week six or seven? Yeah,
I think seven.
Yep.
If I was Amy, this is what I would do. We've seen 3 weeks of Callahan calling the plays. These next 3 weeks, if I was her. I would go to Callahan and say, okay, you need to give up your play calling duties and let Nick Holtz do it. And then once they get to the Patriot game, if nothing has changed, then they fire Callahan. That's what I would do.
Thank you, T-Mac. Appreciate it. I mean, he was asked about the play calling yesterday, Brian Callahan. He did not get into stupendous detail about it.
He said everything's on the table. I've seen some media – take that as big changes could be afoot for the Titans offense. I'm not ready to go there, but I will say, and you and I have a different opinion on this, and we talked about the 6 o'clock hour, I thought his answer wasn't – do we have that? Hey, Ian, can you give me something real fast, like right now? Hey, how about the Greatest American Hero theme song? I love that show and song. I don't know. I thought I'm not ready to say he is telling us that there's big change, but I thought it was a little bit different than just your typical, yeah, sure, everything's on the table. Yeah, leave me alone. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Well, I mean, we'll hear it just here in a second, but my takeaway from it, I was watching the YouTube feed because that's what I do now, especially since the chat summary the other night told me what all the chat was about and how mad Titans fans are. I was like, thank you, AI. I did not know that Titans fans were mad, but now that you've told me, I can uncover it. I just saw his face in the answer, and I thought, okay, well, this is just some throwaway answer. Let's hear it for ourselves again. Here is what Brian Callahan had to say yesterday when he was asked about the idea of giving up play calling.
Given some of these miscues and some of the offensive struggles, has there been any consideration into giving over play calling to Bo or Nick or any of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, everything's under evaluation right now at 0-3. Certainly, it's all part of it. That's players in their roles. That's everything. I mean, we got to find a way to put ourselves in position to win a game. So we're evaluating everything.
Will you give over play calling?
I mean, there's nothing to add to it other than that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I guess maybe not. I don't know why. In the moment, I'm like, wait, is he actually opening the cracking the door on this a little bit? I'm probably wrong. For the first time ever.
Yeah, well, it's history.
It's finally happened.
It's finally. It took 5 years, but we finally found something. Rex Road is wrong on. Yeah, I don't know this for sure, but I think the Titans would probably view it the same way I do of, man, if it gets to the point where we feel like you can't call plays, like right now you're proving that you can't operate in a game, like you're making ridiculous decisions. If it gets to the point where you're not winning games, you can't make easy, common sense decisions that coach makes every week, and now you're telling me you can't be the one calling plays either. Yeah, we're just going to move on. We're going to fire you. Like, I think the Titans probably view it that way, which is the way they should view it,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, I just, like, look, the bottom line is, and I think this is where some Titans fans don't have the perspective, just based on some of the comments of, like, this is just crazy to have a play-calling head coach. It just,
it's half the league.
Yeah, and it works in a lot of places. It has worked.
It's probably more than half the league now.
Yes, it has worked more than not, but you're going to have failures too.
Yeah.
You will. And, of course, Titans' luck would be that they would have one of those. I want to give Adam Portland a quick love here because he says, Indy Ben, imagine me calling an Indy station, calling myself Tennessee Adam and crapping on their team. Sure have been quiet since Luck left. Enjoy this three-game Danny Dimes false hope and picking 15th in the upcoming draft.
Now we're talking.
Tell him, Adam in Portland.
We'll find out more this week. I think it's Colts and Rams this week. Colts on the road to the Rams.
It really sucks for Titans fans that they have already, like, been reduced to hate watching the Colts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hoping they lose.
It's September, and you're already like, well, our season's over. Let's go watch somebody else.
But hope they lose. But to be clear to another texter, and I forget the name, no, we're not talking about the draft. We're not talking about the draft anytime soon.
I refuse to do it. Yeah.
No.
I will not do it.
No.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Titans as we wrap up the show. Coming up next, we'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, Titans fans need to know that if you're here in Nashville, you've been a Titans fan for a long time. You're not alone in your suffering. My dad sent me this video on TikTok last night that I then downloaded and shared with you all. The suffering for Titans fans has gone international. Let's check in with a Titans fan in England to see how he's feeling about the way the season is going.
I'd be the stupidest NFL fan. I was born in Derby. I live in Derby in the UK, which is 4,200 miles away from Nashville, Tennessee. Somehow, out of all 32 NFL teams, I picked the Tennessee Titans. I've even been to the Nissan Stadium. What did I do wrong to end up with the Titans as my NFL team? I literally could have picked anyone. I could have loaded up Madden and chosen any team. I could have chosen Super Bowl winners. Yet I've chosen a poverty franchise that brings me nothing but pain on a Sunday.
Poverty franchise. It brings nothing but pain. But the Titans have gone international, and there's fan bases across the world that are suffering right along with you here in Nashville.
See, just like the people here, I've got buddies who are like, oh, Liverpool! And I'm like, you're that, like, you just randomly chose them as your team 10 years ago, and now you're living and dying with them. Okay. But hey, that's what happens, right? And so I feel bad for him. This reminds me of my parenting fail, which again, here we go. You know, the Lions are still good.
Looking pretty good.
I absolutely had a born Lions fan converted to Titans fan. I mean, it's over. Like, the Titans are, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's done.
So, you have this much lack of success for this long. Some of those people that maybe you could have, you had a nice run. You could have had them. Now you're losing them.
This is a low T alert.
Thank you.
People. You know, we went through the start of the season for the last 3 years. You know, the miracle flip, the Jets game last year where he's bowling it on the ground. Malik Willis coming in and dominating you. And then the start to this year and all the coaching bungles that we've seen. Going through that was just, I think, a nice reminder of what we've had to deal with around here as a football market. But I did see a lot of Titans fans on the chat. We're like, yeah, thanks, Robbie. Really appreciate you bringing all that stuff back up. It's great stuff out there that we're dealing with. What's coming next? What's next?
I know. I mean, you said earlier that you feel bad for Titans fans, which I think is very genuine. And Skyler said, no, you don't. You just like crap.
No, I do. I do. Trust me, I do. I feel bad for Titans fans. I feel bad in some ways for us. I always tell people, because we get messages, getting more messages like this on a weekly basis at this point. Man, I really feel bad for you guys. You got to sit there and talk about this team for 3 hours. And my general response is, don't feel bad for us. We're fine. We're going to be okay. But I'm starting to feel a little bad for us.
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel bad for me because I finally got something wrong. But, yeah. No, we deserve some sympathy, too. But, you know, this is also, if you're a fan, I mean, if you stick it out through this. The NFL is designed for your franchise to figure it out one way or the other. Even ownership aside, you can find plenty of quote-unquote bad owners in pro sports that have had good teams, good runs, because they hired someone who's good. Look, maybe Borgonzi, I mean, his first draft, it looks pretty good other than the second-round pick, but the offensive picks look pretty good. You know, you stick it out through this stuff and things get better, then you really, to me, like, you really have earned the title of fan, you know?
Yeah.
So, hang in there. I mean, look, again, I think no one in the world should be a Detroit Lions fan because they are cursed. However, the poor suckers who have stuck it out, they are getting to watch good football now.
They're very passionate.
Jake Lyman's coming up next. He and I are Detroit Tigers fans. You know, we had a decade in the wilderness, and now we're, oh, wait. Oh, yeah, that's right. We're in absolute hell again. But anyway, still, you earn it as a fan, right?
You do.
So, in some weird way, take kind of solace
sure.
in the fact that you're still watching this team, talking about this team, caring about this team, even with the just big plates full of poop that they give you every Sunday.
I am interested. We will have Paul Kuharsky on the show tomorrow. And one of the things, of the many things, that we will talk about with Kuharsky is, I am going to try to get him, and I know he hates doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to try to get him, like, in his mind. I'm not holding him to it or anything, but a percentage chance. Like, if they go and they lose on Sunday to Houston, which, by the way, they're a 7.5-point dog on the road against Houston with an 0-3 team. What is the percentage chance that he thinks that Brian Callahan will be fired after that game? You heard Terry talk about it yesterday. He's like, I'm just telling you, man, that Houston game. And Terry wasn't the only one I heard yesterday talking about this. So I'm interested to get PK's thoughts on that tomorrow.
Well, I'm glad you're going to ask, but don't forget that he's a coward who won't even give a game prediction.
He will not give a game prediction, but maybe he'll talk about the coach being fired.
I agree. We need to hold him to some math on that. Because, it seems so cliche and just so reactionary for that to be actually on the table, like just because it's in Houston. But, as you said earlier, it's not like that's unprecedented.
Yeah. Kyle on the text line says, was our second round pick supposed to be kicking butt right now? I thought they drafted him for a couple years out.
No, I mean, kicking butt, no. Demonstrating some level of ability to do anything.
It'd be nice to get something from last year's second round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Sweat on IR?
Yeah.
I think that's been under-talked about maybe so far.
We haven't mentioned it at all because the list of issues is so long. But, yeah, it's not good, man.
No.
That's not good.
I mean, it just kind of further solidifies that maybe a while before we're talking about a Titans win around here. Maybe a long time before we're talking about a Titans win. I mean, to answer Kyle's question, no, it's not like the world's biggest deal that the second round pick isn't out there, you know, being a dominant edge rusher immediately. It would be nice if you could notice when he's in the game, though. Like, I'd probably start there. Like, if you're drafting someone in the second round, and they're playing for you, you should probably at some point notice that they're playing football for you.
Exactly. Like, I mean, yes, project and all that stuff, so you definitely – like, you expect next year to be better than this year. But in the NFL, it's just like everything – this is not hockey or baseball where it's years of development, you know, in different levels before you're ready. Like, in the NFL, the careers are short. They start fast. They end fast. So, like, by next year, he should be a second-round pick starter who makes a difference. And – I think it's a little bit alarming.
It's a long way off from that, right?
And it's a little bit alarming, especially because he came to a situation where the opportunity is there to play right away.
Yeah.
So again, some people would say, yeah, well, if he was on a better team, he'd be getting random, you know, lighter reps, and it wouldn't be as big of a deal, right? Well, that's true, but you want to see more.
You want to see more. That could sum up the Tennessee Titans the last couple of years. You want to see more.
There you go.
We'll talk about it again tomorrow.
We'll talk about the draft tomorrow, everybody.
Yeah.
2026, I got some great prospects.
Coming up tomorrow on the show. That does it for
us today. Reuben Bain, watch out.
Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.